This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Congratulations. You are the ones who remembered that we have gone back to our normal schedule with an 8:45 service and an 11 o'clock service. Or maybe you're visiting with us for the first time and you just lucked into it. But we are so glad to be together and to worship both here in the sanctuary, and for those of you who are joining us online, we're grateful to be together as the Spirit of Christ connects us in worship. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you are visiting with us, and if you're here for the very first time, I hope you have a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you and that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in this place. We are so glad that you're here. And I'd love for everyone to take just a moment to register your attendance. We have registration pads at the end of each row here in the sanctuary. There's a link you can put in your browser if you're worshiping online, or if you're really tech savvy, there is a QR code in your bulletin that you can scan and sign in that way, and that will also take you to places where you can share prayer concerns or make an offering for the day and other ways to participate in the service. We are looking toward the fall and our fall programming, and so I would encourage you to read all the announcements in the bulletin. If you have children, there are information about children's choirs, children's programming, our youth kickoff, our all-church retreat coming up at the end of September, lots of different ways to connect as we move into the fall. I want to highlight Sunday, August 18th, which will be Promotion Sunday for all our children. They'll be moving up a grade, and we'll have a blessing of the backpacks in worship, and would love for all of our kids to plan to be here on that Sunday. It'll be a big, fun Sunday together. Some of you have been asking, many of you know that I am going to be taking a renewal leave this fall, and that will start on September 1st, so we get to enjoy the next month together, and starting next Sunday, I'm actually going to do a short sermon series on Sabbath and on rest to invite all of us into practices of Sabbath rest. So I look forward to the next few weeks with you. Finally, today, we have several staff members who are taking a last little bit vacation this week, and we're praying for their rest and renewal. And so joining us this morning as liturgists are Thornton Muncher, who is our summer intern. He's a student at Vanderbilt Divinity School. You've already seen him a few times and probably seen him a lot around the building this summer. And also Reverend Michael McCord, who worships here in this congregation. His wife Emily sings in the choir. His children, Ellie and Austin, are active in the church. He works beyond the local church, but is an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. So he's our first liturgist this morning, and I just wanted you to know who they are and to thank God for their gifts and their willingness to lead us in worship this morning. It's a communion Sunday. We're invited to the table. We're invited to hear the good news from Christ himself, that he is the bread of life. So let us open our hearts and minds to receive the bread of life as good news today.
Save your own boy with us and stand by. When the scarcity of the world overwhelms, God reminds us to provide manna in the wilderness. When we are weary and heavy laden, God reminds us that our hunger and thirst are quenched in your presence. May our worship this day be manna to our souls and bodies. God, remind us that we are the bread of life. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. Let the peace of Christ be with you.
Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 867 in your pew Bible. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they say to him, What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God.
Love to have a moment with the children of any age. If you're here and you want to come forward, the communion rail's closed since we're having communion today, so you have to go around the long way here and come and meet Thornton and Pastor Michael and me. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens because this is a special moment for you. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Glad to see everybody this morning. Hopefully in 2 weeks you'll come back and bring your backpacks and we'll have a special blessing of the backpacks. Come on down. We're so glad to see you this morning. As the rest of our folks are coming down, I want to invite you to pretend with me, okay? We're going to pretend that you all are grown-ups and I am 5 years old, okay? So your parents, your teachers, your grandparents, you're very responsible grown-ups, and I'm 5 years old, okay? So I'm going to ask you, can I have ice cream for dinner every night?
No.
No? Yeah. No. Oh, someone said yes. Most of you said no, though. Can I stay up all night playing on an iPad?
No.
Oh. Can I go across the street without looking to the left and the right?
No.
No. Oh, my goodness. You're telling me no. But you know what? Sometimes no is the most loving thing we can say to someone. Sometimes our parents and teachers tell us no because they love us and they want to help us and keep us safe and happy. I can't eat ice cream every night for supper. That would be terrible for my body, wouldn't it? And if I stayed up all night playing on an iPad, that would be bad for my body and my brain and for everything.
It would hurt your eyes.
It would give me a brain freeze. That's exactly right. It's not good for me. So sometimes, maybe next time somebody says no, maybe it's because they love you. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for the story about Jesus, where he told some people no because he loved them and he wanted what was best for them. We thank you for our parents and grandparents and teachers and all the grown-ups in our lives who love us and want to help us be healthy and happy and safe, and most of all, to know how much you love us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, do you want to go to children's church? If so, say yes. Not no, yes. You can go with Pastor Michael and Pastor Maggie's over there too. Have fun. Bye. I think I was a young adult before I learned that very hard lesson. That sometimes the most loving thing you can do for someone is to say no. I learned the lesson as a parent. Of course you cannot have ice cream for supper. And no, you can't have any screens in your room when it's time to go to bed. Those sorts of no's come rather easily as a parent. But I learned those lessons early on as a pastor as well. I remember when I was first in ministry as an associate pastor at Brentwood, one of my responsibilities was to respond to anyone who called the church or came by the church asking for assistance. And there was a gentleman named Ricky, whom I had helped just a couple of weeks before, and he called me again 2 weeks later, and some things had happened, and he needed some assistance again. And I really wanted to help him, but I said, you know, we have some policies. We're only supposed to help the same person once within a 6-month period, and there's a maximum for the amount we can help one person so that we can do more good among more people. But he was pretty persistent about it, so I said, well, let me go ask my colleague. So I went down the hall and asked my friend Doug Norfleet, who was on the staff with me, and he said, there are reasons we have those policies, Carol. And the truth is, there's a ministry in Williamson County, a cooperative ministry called GraceWorks, that is working with Ricky, and they're trying to help him get on his feet, and they have asked us not to overextend what we do for him. And then he recommended a book to me called Toxic Charity, which maybe some of you have read, and explained to me that sometimes when we think we're helping, we're not actually doing something that's helpful or loving for another person. That was a hard lesson to learn. There were times when I would meet with parents or family members who were walking through the cycle of addiction with a loved one. And I had to support them and encourage them to know that sometimes the most loving thing they could do for their child or for their loved one was to say, no, I'm not giving you any more money, or no, you can't live with us right now. It's so hard to love like that. And in my struggle to understand what that was all about, I tried to look for examples when Jesus said no. When did Jesus ever say no to anyone? He even says in the Sermon on the Mount, give to everyone who asks of you. And whenever he's interrupted by people as he's walking through Galilee, it seems like he's just ready to stop and help everybody. And then I found the 6th chapter of John, the text that we heard this morning. And once I noticed that, I started to notice other places in Jesus' life when he seemed to say no. He certainly said no to the devil in those 40 days of temptation at the beginning of his public ministry. Or when people wanted to take him and make him their king, he didn't say no in so many words, but he turned his back and walked away. He refused to answer Pilate's questions. He stayed silent before the Sanhedrin. He refused to give the people a sign when they demanded one. So there were times when Jesus, either with his words or his actions, said no. And this moment in the 6th chapter of John, I think, is one of those times. Now, if you're with us for the first time, or maybe you weren't with us last week or didn't tune in to last week, we heard the first part of the story at the beginning of chapter 6 of John. Jesus has just fed thousands of people, the feeding of the multitudes, with 5 loaves of barley cakes and 2 fish. It's been an incredible miracle, and the writer of John's gospel makes it clear this is a sign. It's not just a feeding of people, it's a sign for people to be able to see who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, he's the Messiah. And this sign is meant to reveal something of the nature of God. And last week we talked about the superabundance of God, the provision of God. So it's meant to be a sign. Jesus and his disciples leave that place. They cross the sea. Whole nother story there if you want to read it when you get home. And then they arrive at Capernaum. And lo and behold, Jesus turns around and there's that crowd that he fed the day before. They followed him there. Now the conversation they have is a little vague, and it's not so direct in so many words, but basically when Jesus sees them, he knows what they're asking for. They want more barley cakes. They want to fill their bellies. Boy, that was some good bread that Jesus gave us for free. And we all got more than we needed. We were all filled and satisfied. Let's go find that guy and get some more bread. He seems to know that that's what they're asking for. And not in so many words, but in his actions, he says, no, I'm not going to give you what you're asking for. I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm not just going to give you more barley cakes to fill your belly. That was a sign. What I am offering you is something deeper and eternal. And he begins to teach them about the bread of life. I am the bread of life, he says. What he's really offering them is himself, a relationship with the living God through him, a relationship that will never leave them hungry, that will satisfy the deepest longing of their heart forever. Now, we don't know by the end of the conversation, at least where we ended up, whether the crowd gets it or not, whether any of them take Jesus up on his invitation. but they don't get any more barley cakes. And so as I look at this text, I begin to see a mirror emerge and holding it up for me to see myself. And I wonder how often I come into my relationship with God with a list of my wants and my needs. That what I really just ask of God is to have my needs satisfied, to have what I want, to have myself and the people I love, to have good health and safety and happiness. As I examine the things that I pray the most about, it's I want my son to find a job. I want my other child to adjust to college and find friends and be happy. I want good health for everyone. I want to keep everybody in the church happy. All of these things that I'm asking of Jesus, and I wonder if they're barley cakes. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we are invited by God to pray for whatever is on our hearts. We just read through the Psalms and see the very humanness of the psalmist. And God, I think, wants us to pray about everything. So don't judge your prayers or edit your prayers. But when I reflect on my prayers, I sometimes wonder if I'm not asking for what I really need. If I'm not seeking first and foremost a loving relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. If I'm missing out on the bread of life because I'm so caught up with the barley cakes. I wonder if that's true for you too. I think about our life together as a church and what it is to be part of a church and how we can pick any church we want here in Nashville. We have hundreds, thousands of choices when it comes to worshiping on Sunday morning. And what are the things that draw us into a community of faith? I know for me, it's like, I want to be singing the hymns that I like, and I want to be with people I know and like, and I want to have my opinions reinforced, and all of those things, and just be with people like me. But I wonder if we were following the bread of life and this one named Jesus who calls to himself all kinds of diverse and messy people, if we would set aside our comforts and conveniences to be in that living relationship with him and whoever he calls alongside him. So, confession. I've told many of you about my family camp meeting. This is a revival family reunion every year for a week. We go to church twice a day. We sing the same hymns out of the Little Brown Cokesbury hymnal. We know them all. And about 15, 20 years ago, someone said, maybe we should bring a little screen in the sanctuary and sing some of the contemporary songs. What? Someone's messing with camp meeting. And I just felt within myself this resistance. We can't do that. That's not camp meeting. We got to keep it the same the way it is. Do you recognize some of that impulse in yourself? The things that we get attached to that are not really God, but that are just avenues to worship God. Now, we didn't bring a screen. We tried. We gave it a try. The technology didn't work. But we did incorporate some new songs into our circulation of what we sing. And now, if you tried to take those songs out, you'd have a riot on your hands. It was a gift to open ourselves up to newness and change. And I think sometimes in my own life, I get stuck with the barley loaves and thinking about my faith as something that's for me and my comforts and my conveniences and my well-being. But what Jesus is offering the crowd, what Jesus offers us, is a living relationship with the God who is in control. And if we can put our trust in God, we may have to adapt and change and shift. And it's an adventure that we're not in charge of. I'm not sure if the crowd was ready. Some of them, by the end of chapter 6, had turned away. What Jesus was asking was too much, to put their trust in him instead of in the barley loaves. But the invitation is before me and before us this morning. And we're going to be invited in just a few moments to come to the table where Jesus is our host. And each of us is going to be given a little piece of gluten-free bread. It's not very big. It's not going to fill your belly. You're going to go from this place and you're going to need to go get a meal somewhere. And we're going to go from this place and do everything we can to make sure everybody has enough to fill their bellies. That's part of who we're called to be. But there is enough in this little piece of bread for life. For this is the bread of life. And Jesus has offered it to you and to me. It is a gift. And we will never be hungry again.
And join me in professing our faith with the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. Grayson Wyatt Garrett was born July 22nd to Jordan and Chad Garrett. He is also welcomed by his grandparents, Ms. Fondy and Mr. Jim Caden, and his uncle, Jimmy Caden. Mary Shay Kennedy was born July 29th to Sarah and Sean Kennedy. She is welcomed also by her big brother, Remy Kennedy, her grandmother, Margaret Williams, and her aunt, Lizzie Williams. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God of everlasting abundance, even in the noes, you've shown us who you are and invited us into your beloved community. You've taught us and sought after us, even when we did not recognize you in the searching. Still, you keep pursuing us and holding us in radically inclusive love. We offer you our praise, and we know that you are present in all things that are grounded in holy truth and goodness. We give you thanks for the unconditional grace you offer us each day, and we ask for the courage to make the choice to offer this same grace to others. Help us to live boldly into a life of hope, justice, and autonomy, a life that resembles the hope and justice of your earthly ministry. Be with us now, be with us in the future, and be with us always as we worship you in the mystery of our faith. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. You may also use the QR code printed in the bulletin to give digitally through the website. As we all pass the plates down the row to one another, may we all remember that God multiplies our gifts in beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. You provided manna to your people when they found themselves in the wilderness, and you led them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He fed the multitudes on the mountainside and offered himself to them. He offers himself to us and to all as the bread of life and promises that whoever comes to him will never hunger or thirst again. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread, then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Please join me in praying the prayer that Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My friends, this is the body of Christ, broken and given in love to you and to me. It is the bread of life. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of grace. When we drink of this cup, we will never thirst again. The table is now set, and there is a place for you and for me and for all of God's children here at this table. If this is your first time worshiping here at West End United Methodist Church, it's important for you to know that Jesus is the host of the table, and everyone is welcome. It's not a table of the United Methodist Church or of West End United Methodist Church. It's Christ's table, and all who are here and all who are not here are welcome at this table. If it's your first time receiving in this place, however, I just have a few words to help you along the way. We will come, those in the choir will be served first, followed by the friends in the transepts in the balcony, and then those of you in the center, just come as you feel led. Wherever there's an open space at the altar, you are welcome to take your place there. If you'll have your hands open, that will let our servers know you have yet to be served. It is also a posture of openness and receiving, which we all take as we receive this holy grace. All of the bread, as I've said before, is gluten-free, and I do have prepackaged elements that I will take around the sanctuary. If you're unable or uncomfortable coming forward, I'll be happy to serve you in your seat if you'll just wave to me as I go by. Every month when we gather around the table, we have an opportunity to make an extra gift for one of the partners of our congregation, and this month's communion offering will go toward our partnership with HG Middle School. We're a United for Hope partnership with HG Middle School, and we support their teachers and their students and tutoring in lots of different ways. Last year, the communion offering went to hold a celebration for the teachers to help them feel loved and appreciated. So we hope that you'll give generously and think about and pray for the children, staff, and teachers at HG Middle School. And now it is time for us. Jesus has offered himself as the bread of life. Let us come and receive. Will you rise in body or spirit and join with me in giving thanks for the bread of life which has been given to us? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. The bread of life has filled us. The life of Christ is now in you and in me. May we go with that life and that love to be bread for the world. Go in peace.